You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in.
Hello, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on the Sunday evening, February the 18th. I am your host, Mike Oliva. And boy, do we have a lot in the world of the Miami Dolphins to talk about. I'm going to go over Anthony Weaver's press conference from earlier in the week. There was really nothing earth-shattering from it, so I didn't feel the need to rush out and have a show on it right after it happened. But I'll talk about some of the things he said and my takeaways from that. Also talk a little bit about Michael Penix Jr. I can't believe the people who are, trying to link first-round quarterbacks to the Dolphins. I will talk about that. And we're also going to talk about a little Danny Crossman as well. But before we get to any of that, as always, a big shout-out to everyone listening at FinHeaven.com. Everyone go to FinHeaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout-out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, run by the great and talented Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, YouTube, Google Play, Stitcher, Audible, wherever, we're on all the platforms. If there's a podcast platform, we are on it. Please make sure you subscribe. We are weeks away from bombs dropping in the world of the Miami Dolphins. We're going to find out what's going to go on with Tua Tagovailoa. We're going to find out what goes on with Christian Wilkins. Is he tagged or is he not? Because by March 13th, the Dolphins need to be at the salary cap. Right now, they're $40 million over. They're going to be cutting players like Ogba, probably Xavier Howard, maybe even Jerome Baker as well. There's going to be so much news in the world of the Dolphins over the next 3 to 4 weeks. You're not going to want to miss it. So subscribe to this podcast, because when news drops, we will have shows probably each and every day that there's a big news story. It's going to feel like we're in season where we have shows every day. So subscribe. And if you subscribe to our Apple podcast page, for those of you on Apple, and if you leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, I will read it on the air and give you a shout out. All right, let's start off with Anthony Weaver's press conference, the new Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator from earlier this week. It was a good press. Look, it's a press conference. I'm not going to go nuts here, but he did hit the right tone. I liked what I heard. Not going to go running through any wall because he said something that got me so pumped up. It wasn't anything like that, but he did say all the right things, so I want to give him credit there. But once again, I do look back 1 year ago this time. All Dolphins fans were over the moon happy with the Vic Fangio hire. Said, oh, his press conference was great. So you never know how these things will turn out. You can only hope for the best when you have a position coach promoted to a coordinator spot. And I know he was a coordinator for 1 year, a few years back. That didn't end well. But really, all you can do is hope for the best. But I thought he presented himself well. And the ideas he sort of shared, which are not all of his ideas, but the ideas he shared, I thought were very logical, common sense based, and I liked what he said. Now, I know there is a belief amongst some insiders that, he's only going to be here for a year. Folks, do not look that far ahead. I don't see that. Again, not to sort of poo-poo on this hiring, but the Ravens this offseason had a chance to promote him to defensive coordinator. They didn't. Seattle with Mike MacDonald, who was their coordinator, he goes to Seattle as a new head coach. He had a chance to hire him and make him his defensive coordinator. He didn't. So this whole notion that, Anthony Weaver is some hot coaching candidate that everyone wants, when the two people who knew him the best didn't hire him. And I know he did interview with, Atlanta and Washington to be a head coach. They didn't hire me. Like, the people who knew him the best didn't hire him. So, again, that's not a knock on him. That's not saying he's not that he's not ready for this job. But this whole thing, oh, he's only going to be here. He's so good, he's only going to be here for a year. Based on what? Based on what? Let's just – it's a wait and see approach. I know fans get – you know, right now there's not a lot of news out there. You know, now everyone hates Vic Fangio. So you got to prop up Anthony Weaver, and he's the best thing since sliced bread. Look, I hope he is. I really, really hope he is. But he's getting a second shot here at being a coordinator, which I actually like, because I think guys learn a lot from the first time they're in a role and they fail, and their second time at bat, they learn from the mistakes, and we'll see what he's made of. But it really is a wait-and-see approach. But there were no red flags, and he came off really well in the press conference this past week. He really came off well. He came off like a very new-age coach. He sounded very smart. He presented himself very well. He sounds like he knows the modern era of football. He's not someone who's stuck in the past, who's willing to not change his way. I've done it this way forever. I'm not gonna change my approach no matter what. And this is just how we do it. He did sound like a more new age coach, like our head coach is, very much a player's first coach, which can work for you at times, and it can also work against you at times. But it does sound like he shares the same vision as our head coach, Mike McDaniel, which makes sense, and that is probably a very much a positive thing. He did, and I also like when he said that what he's going to run on defense is going to be, quote-unquote, multiple and flexible. That was a smart thing to say, because he didn't tie himself into any one scheme. Because with Vic Fangio last year, we knew he's a 3-4 zone coverage, doesn't like to blitz, and no matter who the Dolphins had on that side of the ball, he's going to run a 3-4 zone. He's never going to blitz. So what Weaver said here was like, well, we'll see. I'm going to run. He is a 3-4 at heart, but you know, he left the door open to maybe running some 4-3 and being flexible in what he does. And he says he's going to try and replicate what the Ravens do on that side of the ball, which makes sense. That's where he spent, I don't want to say the majority of his time as a coach, but where he's been recently. And look at all the success the Ravens have had. Number one seed this past year in the AFC Championship game. A team that's that is in the playoffs more times than not compared to us. So I would want him to replicate what a winning organization does. That's very smart. He said he wants to blitz with intent, which, again, doesn't tie him into anything. It's a very smart thing to say, because we know with Vic Fangio, he doesn't like to blitz at all. He only wants to blitz when he has to. And before him, we had Josh Boyer, who was blitz happy every play. So for Anthony Weaver to say, I want to blitz with intent, that is pretty much handing a reporter an answer that's not an answer. It's one of those non-answer answers. What does that mean, blitz with intent? Is he going to blitz often? Is he never going to blitz? He really didn't say. He's just going to blitz with intent. So he's smart enough to play the media game and, you know, say words without how to tap dance around a question. Love that about him. Because I think the biggest issue a lot of coaches have in this modern era is they don't know how to handle the media. Weaver, someone who's not going to have to talk to the media a lot as a coordinator, just like once a week, at least showed he's more than capable of handling the media. When someone asks you something you don't want to answer, there's ways to say words and have it just mean nothing. That's what he did there. He also pointed out he's going to move Jalen Ramsey around, and he won't be tied to just keeping him on one side of the field. I mean, duh, who didn't like hearing that? Jalen Ramsey is your best cornerback. Jalen Ramsey is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. You need to move him around on the opponent's number one wide receivers. If you don't, why are you paying him all that money? It only makes sense. So, yes, that was a no-brainer, and it's nice to see. Again, Weaver said all the right things in his press conference. He hit all the right notes. He didn't. No red flags popped up or anything. And this is just a prime example saying, Ramsey will be moved around. Of course you're going to move your best player around. Why wouldn't you? He also said he's going to coach from the field and not from the booth. To me, that's not a big deal, because there are pluses and minuses to each way of doing it. If you're upstairs in the booth, you get a full view of the field, and you might have a better idea of what's going on, because you can see all things at all times. Being on the field, you're more engaged with the players. You can have that instant feedback with them. Again, pluses and minuses to each way. Not going to read much into that. If he feels more comfortable calling plays from the field, great. Totally fine with that. And I know the big story coming out of this press conference is when he started to, you know, name some of the players he's now going to be able to work with on this side of the ball here in Miami. He did mention Christian Wilkins. I'm not reading anything into it. I know a lot of people are. Again, Christian Wilkins, the Dolphins, if they want, can put the franchise tag on him. I don't think they will. And if they do, they might be a tag and trade type situation. So we'll see. Look, Christian Wilkins is the Miami Dolphins. He is the leader of this team. Make no mistake about it. It's not Tyreek Hill. It's not Tua Tagovailoa. Christian Wilkins is the heart and soul of this team. Now, he plays a position where there's a limit where you can pay that type of player. Wilkins, you know, probably wants $25, $26 million, and I'm sure the Dolphins are probably around $20, $21, $22 million, maybe $23 on a good day, and they're not going to want to go to where what he wants to make. So if they move on from him, I get it. I understand it. But he didn't mention him and all in it. And it's kind of funny. And the reason people are reading into it, because when he started to list the players on all three levels, obviously the front four or so, then at linebacker, then in the secondary, he did not name Xavien Howard, who most expect to be a cut because his play is starting to slip a little bit and he makes a lot of money. And when you're $40 million or so over the cap, easy cap savings there. And he also did not name Jerome Baker at linebacker. Again, a guy whose contract's not totally hefty, but hefty enough to where if you're this much over the cap, you might be able to cut him and save some money there and maybe not lose too much on the field. Now, look, I love Jerome Baker. I don't want to see him go, but if they cut him, again, just like with Wilkins, I get it. Just like with Andrew Van Ginkle, someone else I love, if they let him walk, I get it, because you can get guys to replace them at probably half the money. So I totally understand, even though Howard I'm fine leaving at this point. I think, first off, he's a mess off the field, which, I mean, like a real mess off the field. And his play is starting to slip to the point where he's not worth what he makes. Wilkins, I just think, has, you know, pie in the sky. He wants to make so much where it might be tough to make a marriage happen. And when it comes to Jerome Baker, again, if we cut him or if we ask him to take a pay cut, it might be the wise thing there. So we'll see. But he didn't mention Howard or Baker, and he did mention Wilkins, which got some people reading in between the lines. We'll see. I know there's also many fans of the Dolphins who think with Anthony Weaver now here in Miami that the Dolphins might be players and free agent linebacker Patrick Queen from the Ravens. Obviously a great player. But, you know, I cannot speculate on that until you tell me what the Dolphins are going to do with Tua and Wilkins. If they give Tua a long-term deal, lower his cap number, if they don't tag Wilkins and he leaves as a free agent, sure, Patrick Queen's in play because the money you were going to allocate for Wilkins you can now use on someone like Queen. Totally makes sense. But if they don't give Tua a long-term deal, if they use the franchise tag on Wilkins with the intent to keep him, then there's no chance they're going to get a Patrick Queen because they just simply don't have the cap space and you cannot cut enough players to make the cap space. And if you did, yeah, you would add Queen and you would not be able to then go out there and add anybody else at any other position. That would be like your only move in free agency of consequence. And then you'd be out there, you know, trying to sign a River Craycraft to be your number three wide receiver, which would not be ideal. So overall, though, I liked what I heard from the press conference. Again, no major red flags, nothing too exciting, so I'm not going to go crazy here either with Joy because he's a position coach. We don't know how much he was involved with the Ravens and what they did, and the people who are closest to him the most did not hire him and promote him. There is something to be said for that, but it does sound like he is on the same wavelength with Mike McDaniel, which is good, and it sounds like he's got some ideas of what he wants to do. He brought in, you know, a new linebackers coach, a new run game coordinator, a new pass game coordinator, a new secondary coach. He's brought in all new coaches except for Austin Clark. He's brought in all new coaches on that side of the ball, and he surrounded himself with his people, his team. And let's hope it works out for the best here with Anthony Weaver because there is talent on that side of the ball, but I also think we're going to see a purge this offseason where some of these guys like an Andrew Van Ginkle, like a Xavien Howard, like an Agba, like a Jerome Baker, maybe a Jones, maybe an Elliott are shown the door and they're not re-signed or they're cut if they're under contract, and we're going to see a bunch of new faces on that side of the ball. Because obviously guys like Chubb aren't going anywhere. He just got paid. Ramsey just got paid. He's not going anywhere. Zach Sealer just got paid. He's not going anywhere. So there's like a core. You know, Holland, I think Miami would be wise to give him a long-term deal now instead of waiting until next year and having him be a free agent where you have to decide if you want to use the franchise. Just lock him up now. You know he's someone you want to keep. We have a core, like four or five guys that we know aren't going to be leaving that you want to build around. But I would take the approach of not paying or overpaying for guys like an Andrew Van Ginkel and stuff like that. It's okay if they leave. Not the end of the world, because you can replace them. You can get younger. You can get faster. And you might be able to get guys who are a better scheme fit for what Anthony Weaver wants to do on that side of the football. Okay, next topic. This Michael Penix Jr. stuff that's out there. I feel like each week I have to shoot down a silly quarterback rumor tied to the Dolphins. And I know Joel Klatt of Fox Sports in his mock draft had Miami taking him in round one, and he gave a bunch of points. Chris Brockman from the Rich Eisen Show said Miami should take him in round one and just move on from Tua altogether. Spoiler alert, they won't. Okay, they're not going to move on from Tua. They're not going to move on from Tua, and they're not drafting a quarterback in round one or round two. Okay, that's not going to happen. They're not taking Michael Penix in round one, and if for some reason he falls him in round two, they're not taking him in round two. They won't. Now, two things can be true at the same time, though. So let's put that in. One thing can be true. They're not drafting Michael Penix. They're not going to draft Knicks. They're not going to draft any quarterback in round one or two. That is true. Point number two, which is also true, the points that Joel Klatt made and Chris Brockman of the Rich Eisen Show made aren't necessarily wrong. Okay, they're not necessarily wrong. And here's why. It's kind of a nuanced point here. So hear me out before you start like yelling. Tua is going to get a long-term extension from the Miami Dolphins probably in the next 21 days or so, if I had to guess. It's probably going to happen soon. And he's going to be tied up on Miami's salary cap for big, big money till 2027, 2028. That is when Miami will be able to move on from him for the first time. So for the foreseeable future, Tua is going to be tied up for big money on Miami's salary cap. They're not going to be able, he's going to eat up a big chunk. That's what happens when you draft a quarterback at the top of round one, like they did in 2020. You get a window where you have your quarterback eat up almost nothing in your cap because he's on a rookie deal. Then when you have to pay him, should he earn a long-term deal like he sort of has here, Tua, you can argue maybe he hasn't, but they're going to pay him. That's reality. Then you have to work with a salary cap where a quarterback takes up a large chunk of it. And that's where Miami's going to be, where he's going to be on their cap for big money, 40-plus, 45-plus, maybe 50-plus million, 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027, maybe 2028, however they sort of work out the contract. Drafting a quarterback in the middle rounds this year is just quarterback insurance, and that's smart. Not round one or two, that's stupid. Middle, end of the draft, that's smart. And I implore Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, and the Dolphins to draft a quarterback this year in the middle or late rounds. Here's why. Mike White's in the final year of his deal. He just isn't very good. So after this year, he's gone. You can show the door. Skylar Thompson for a 7th-round pick, God bless him. He's tried his best. He has no meaningful future here in Miami. He's not even a possible number two quarterback. He's just a guy. 7th-round pick. If he's here, great. If he's not, really, who cares? But because Miami's going to be tied to Tua long-term for big money, and to draft a guy in the middle of the draft, let me repeat, the middle or even the end of the draft, is smart. Because then you can have a guy that you like, that you develop. And God forbid Tua gets hurt again, not a crazy notion with his concussion history, God forbid Tua never improves in December or January and continues to suck late in the year versus good teams. Again, not a crazy notion to have. You have a guy that you brought in, that you developed on the cheap with a cheap rookie contract. So in a year or two, should Tua fall flat on his face, but you can't move on from him because he makes too much money, you at least have a guy in the pipeline you've worked with and sort of prepared to maybe step in, God forbid. It's quarterback insurance. It's smart business. It needs to be done. So again, so there's no confusion, because I know a lot of people who listen sometimes hear only part of what I say, or they only hear what they want to hear. Let's just recap what I just said. Tua will get a long-term deal and be in Miami for the next handful of years. The Dolphins will not and are not going to draft Michael Penix or any other quarterback in round one or two. I am saying the Dolphins should draft a quarterback in the middle rounds or late rounds of the draft just to start the process of having another young quarterback in the system that you can groom and you can develop, because quarterback's the most important position, and with Tua paying him, there is a risk involved. So, yes, and I know they don't have a pick this year in round three or four. They lost it, one of them they lost for tampering, one they lost in the trade for Chubb. That's fine. Look, Chris Greer can figure it out. Either trade back in rounds one or two, pick up a pick, or take a quarterback round five, or take a quarterback round six. I don't know. I can't do his job for him. He can figure it out. The point is, drafting a quarterback in this draft outside of rounds one and two is not a bad idea. But what these other guys are saying, like rounds one or two, take Michael Penix, that's stupid. That's just, it's not going to happen. Just like they're not going to trade for Justin Fields. Like, that's just stupid talk. So I know there's a lot of chatter, there's a lot of stuff out there about the Dolphins and Michael Penix. It's not going to happen, okay? And every time a dumb rumor like this comes up, I will come out here and shoot it down. Because again, the Dolphins are tied at the hip to Tua Tagovailoa. They aren't moving on from him. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't draft a young quarterback at some point this year to start to develop, just in case. Because it's football. You play chess, not checkers. And you need to have a just in case type of answer, just in case something happens to Tua long term, where he's on your cap and you can't move on from him, but you still got to play games every week. So that's my thoughts on that. Okay, final topic of the show. And it really hit me this weekend. You know, I was doing some stuff on the Miami Dolphins. I wrote a couple articles that are up on the website, dolphinstalk.com. Doing some research with some stuff. I was preparing for this show, and it really hit me. I am shocked. Danny Crossman still has a job with the Miami Dolphins, and he's coming back as their special teams coordinator. I am just perplexed that they haven't moved on from him. A guy who has failed the entire time he's been with the Dolphins, they haven't moved on from, and they're going to bring him back. You know, every time the Dolphins lose a heartbreaker like they did versus the Titans, anytime the Dolphins lose a heartbreaker like they did Week 18 versus the Bills, anytime they get knocked out of the playoffs again and still have this 24-year playoff win drought, you know, fans of the Dolphins run to social media, "We're cursed! We're cursed," I say. And I say, no, we are not cursed. We make bad decisions, and those bad decisions have consequences like this. When you continue to employ a bad coach who is a special teams coordinator and your special teams fail year after year after year, it's not cursed. There's nothing cursed about that. You're just dumb. And the Dolphins in this one area are dumb. Why they keep bringing him back, I don't know. And I'm going to give you some stats that would make even any rational NFL head coach, from Vince Lombardi to Cam Cameron, say, this guy stinks, I can't have him on my staff. So let's start with Danny Crossman's time with the Bills, because he was there for like 5 or 6 years as their coordinator, and he stuck there. The last year he was in Buffalo, the year that Sean McDermott said, "I can't take it no more, you're fired," with the Bills, their punt return unit ranked 21st. Their kickoff return unit ranked 24th. They did not have a punt return longer than 31 yards. And their punt coverage unit was ranked 20th. So they couldn't run back punts. They couldn't cover punts. They didn't have a long punt return. And their kickoff unit stunk as well. Sean McDermott, after 5 or 6 years, goes, "This guy stinks, you're fired." That didn't stop Miami and Brian Flores from hiring him. And then Mike McDaniel not only retaining him, then giving him a promotion to assistant head coach as well as special teams coordinator. Let's go back to 2022. The Dolphins were tied for the worst punt return average. They had the second worst kickoff return average. And if you one of these analytics nuts who loves all that stuff, they were ranked 28th. by Football Outsiders as their special teams overall. That was 2022. You know, worst punt return, second worst kickoff return. Analytics says you're 28th out of 32. You stink. And it's not even just the numbers. Just watch the games like all of us do. You watch the games. They stink. Then let's look ahead to 2023. Miami's punt return coverage unit went all the way up to 28th. Yippee, a big jump there. The kickoff coverage unit dropped, though, 32nd, last in the NFL. And that doesn't even tell the whole story. Remember the 96-yard punt return in the fourth quarter, Week 18, versus the Bills that cost Miami the AFC East? Danny Crossman's watch. Remember that brutal loss to the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football? You remember in that game, we had an illegal formation on a kickoff, which with the rules that how they're set up now is literally almost impossible. Because they tell you with the rules, you have to have X amount of guys on the left, X amount of guys. We had an illegal formation. I don't even know how that happens. We had it. We had a field goal in that game blocked. Our long snapper had an unsportsmanlike penalty personal foul called against him. A long snapper. Those are three. Why did we lose that game for the Titans? There's a lot of reasons we lost. Special teams was up there as maybe the biggest, even more so than the defense. And oh yeah, let's not also forget last year in 2023. They gave up a kickoff return to the Broncos for a touchdown. And then Mike McDaniel, who loses every challenge flag he seems to throw. The one time in the regular season he actually won a challenge this year was when Miami was called for having too many men on the field for a punt. As a player was running off the field before the snap, he didn't get off in time. Ref throws the flag. Penalty, Miami has 12 men on the field. But wait! Mike McDaniel throws a challenge flag. Goes, no. My special teams did not have 12 men on the field racing off the 12th man. We had 11. We were racing off the 11th because our special teams quarter don't know what the hell he's doing, and we were going to play the down shorthanded with only 10 men. The refs go to the video, and he goes, you're right. You did have 11. Why was the 11th guy running off? I don't know. Either way, not a penalty. It's the only challenge he won this year in the regular season. Danny Crossman stinks. They moved on from Thomas Morstead. Why? I have no idea. They signed Jake Bailey, ranked 29th in yards per punt this year. He was ranked 26th in having punts inside the 20. Both, again, there's only 32 teams. 29, 26, bottom of the league. Folks, our special teams stink. They've stunk for years. And for some reason, we're sticking with this guy. You know, had to move on from Vic Fangio. Had to move on from this one. Had to move on from Josh Boyer. We moved on from all these coaches. Moved on from last offense. Had to move on from Matt Applebaum. We'll move on from everybody except for Danny Crossman. You know, he has gone to the Chris Greer School of Self-Preservation, where I keep my job no matter what. I'm a Supreme Court judge. I ain't leaving. I don't know why. It goes back to your head coach, who doesn't have the testicular fortitude to pull the trigger and realize this guy is hurting the team. We have to make a change. He won't do it. So again, next year when special teams fail again, because spoiler, they will, because this guy doesn't know how to run a special teams unit, don't say we're cursed. We're not. We still have an opportunity to move on and maybe upgrade this aspect of the Miami Dolphins team, but we don't. It's bad decisions have consequences. So it really hit me today, like, man, we really are going to keep this guy. Because then I dove into the numbers because I wrote an article about this that is up on the website at dolphinstalk.com. And I'm like, we're really going to keep this guy. I mean, it's baffling to me. Baffling. We'll invest money in everything, but a simple ground ball where we just need to upgrade our defensive coordinator, we won't. I mean, upgrade our special teams coordinator, we won't. So just wanted to vent on that because same old Dolphins. It just blows my mind. All right, that's all for today's show. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more shows this week. If any news drops, we'll be back on top of that. So be on the lookout for that here at the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. Again, wherever you listen, subscribe. And if you head to our Apple Podcast page, leave us a 5-star rating and write us a positive review. I will give you a shout out on the air and read your positive comment on the air. But wherever you listen, Spotify, YouTube, subscribe, especially the YouTube page. We got a lot of new things coming to YouTube. Make sure you go to YouTube, search in the search bar for DolphinsTalk.com and subscribe to that YouTube page. We have some special stuff coming there starting real soon. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, and Instagram at Dolphins Talk. Everyone have a great Sunday night. Everyone have a great Monday. We'll talk to you again after a while. And folks, don't forget, we must put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.